Hello and welcome to the Linux Lads. As usual, I'm Shane.
I'm Connor.
And I'm Mike.
And we have with us today a very special guest. We have Adam. Adam, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm not too very special, but I'm Adam Pig, and I contribute to the Selfish project, porting Selfish to devices.
Great to have you on. It's brilliant because mobile Linux, as we all know, is the big thing nowadays, and that's where all the sexy stuff is coming from, is mobile Linux. First of all, like, how did you get started in all this, basically?
Probably around 2010, 2011. I was a KOffice contributor, and I worked on the KEXI database. And then from that, there was a Nokia representative got in touch, and he was interested in kind of porting that to the N900. So he sent me an N900, and I played with that and did some app development there. Then that moved on to the Migo devices, the N950 and the N9, and I got hold of some of them and did some development there. Then in, I think 2011, Nokia switched to Windows Mobile, which kind of changed everything. So then from there, I moved to BlackBerry development because they had a Qt-based operating system in BlackBerry 10. Then Yola came onto the market with the Yola phone. And I moved back to Selfish.
Just when you're speaking there, just talking about the N9, loads of people lusted after that phone at the time. The user interface was just I remember it wasn't Engadget, it was a professional device reviewer website. I think it actually might have been Engadget, I might be remembering correctly, that said that the icons almost seemed to float above the screen because of the screen kind of curved a bit. And I know curved displays are all in vogue these days, but at the time it was like they're saying it's like a thin film of water on top of the phone. It was almost like, yeah, there were several people kind of lusted after that phone.
It also had the always on display where I think it was low power, so it was AMOLED, and it could show the time when the screen was off.
Did you say that they wanted you to port KOffice onto the phone?
No, I think I started with developing a mobile version of the KEXI database using a different interface for the N900. And that's what got me into the whole mobile area.
So that would be like having a Microsoft Access on a phone.
Yeah, and we got some way, and there's still code around, but it never really greatly took off. But we did have ideas, and we did have code floating around.
So what projects are you currently working on?
Currently, I'm assisting in porting Selfish to the PinePhone, the Volaphone, the FXTech Pro 1, and I still look after my older Xiaomi Redmine Note 4 cheap phone.
Yeah, I was genuinely very tempted by the X Pro 1. That's the
XDA.
Yeah. I was legitimately very tempted by that, particularly when it was still in its Indiegogo price, and especially so, like, I almost pulled the trigger once I found out that XDA had their own exclusive version with their own unique link, and that, like, you got slightly better hardware or something. Like, it was really good price. No, it was the higher up spec model, but you got it for even more reduced than it was even on Indiegogo.
Yeah, I think that that goes up to about 128 gig, I think.
I think it was something like that. Very nearly pulled the trigger on that, but I think I just couldn't justify it. I couldn't afford it at the time to be spending that much money. But yeah, very, very compelling device. As I said, I was almost pull the trigger on it myself.
And that's how I kind of got into porting, really. I could never justify buying a phone because, like, my phone always worked, but I wanted to have this Sailfish phone, and I read that there were people porting it to their own phone, so I thought, well, I may as well give it a shot.
What kind of attracted you to Sailfish out of all possible OSs?
Because, well, being a KDE, Qt, C++ background, the whole Sailfish continuation from Nokia using Qt was what attracted me there.
Sailfish continued on for the whole Migo project, didn't it?
Yeah.
I know Sailfish has some proprietary blobs in it, or especially in the UI layer. Is it Nemo OS is the one that's supposed to be completely open source?
It is. There's the Nemo project, which uses a lot of the same components and source code from the common base of everything, which was called MER. At the base there was MER, then there was Nemo, which was completely free, and Sailfish, which I like to think of it as mostly free with some extra proprietary bits.
So the way I imagine this kind of works, and I've never tried anything like this, you basically have a phone and you have some kind of a base Sailfish image or source code. And then you have to do some magic, and then Sailfish is running on the phone. What is the kind of magic in the between?
It generally helps if the phone has a Lineage port. So if there's already an open source build of Android for the phone, that's a great help. Because then you've got the kernel sources and you can make any changes, and it's quite easy. And then all the builds are set up for you. And then there's a guide which Jolla provide, and it's literally step by step, tells you which repositories to check out, what changes to make. All the build commands are there, and you run a build, and at the end you've got an image, and you flash it, and you hope it works. And if it doesn't, you start debugging.
And do you use Sailfish like as your daily driver? Do you are constantly on it?
My daily driver is the Pro 1 sort of X. This isn't a proper Pro 1 X. It's a Pro 1 in an X case.
All right.
I believe. This one's kind of unique.
So you're not missing any kind of Android capabilities or anything else that you would get from like one of the two major phone OS providers?
I maybe do deliberately suffer. I mean, especially with banking. I guess I go to the effort of not using Android and that causes some pain with banking. My kids seem to find it a lot easier to transfer money and things than I do.
Yeah, that's always what the two examples that we always quote on this show, why we have to stick with Android or why we stick with Android or iOS is banking apps and chat apps, because, you know.
Yeah, because everybody uses WhatsApp.
Hopefully it will maybe change soon.
In relation to WhatsApp, I've heard for the Ubuntu Touch or Ubi ports side of things, and Ubi, I presume, would be applicable to Sailfish if you didn't have the WhatsApp version or the Android version of WhatsApp running on the official supported YOLO devices. Is that they just have the web UI put into an app form, but that relies on another Android phone being, so they effectively say that they just have an Android phone acting like a server and just put it in a drawer somewhere, and then they can just use the app just like the web interface, which is kind of a hack workaround of it.
I mean, there's been a video posted this week of somebody running Spotify in Anbox on the PinePhone on Mobian. So if it can do that, then it can run WhatsApp too.
I've no doubt that there'll be people are quite enterprising and people are quite smart. They'll work around the WhatsApp limitation, but the annoying one is definitely the banking applications, because banking applications seem to do all of their multi-factor through their own application, so their own in-house application, which I suppose from their point of view they're like, well, it's for security, we do it through our own application, therefore we can verify our own application. But if only there was kind of an open standard that they would all trust, and then you could just use that. I mean, all of my multi-factor that I do for work or anything like that, work and personal are actually in the both app, both in the same app, and it's Authy on Android. I don't know if anyone uses it, but I just opened it and I have Discord MFA, my work MFA, Humble Bundle, that kind of thing. So they're all in one. So yeah, if all of those can decide on a standard, then why can't the banking applications?
It used to work quite well through web interfaces. That's only recently started changing when they basically started taking that away on the mobile phones, that you can't no longer use just the web.
Yeah, it's a shame that they deliberately disable web access from a mobile browser.
There's a bank that I use, and there is a web UI. You can log into their website, but all it will handle off all of its authorization to their mobile application. So here I am on my web UI, and I say, I don't know, I want to transfer €50 to Mike. Mike is getting a generous gift from me or whatever. It will say, okay, we'll refer to your phone. Please put in your PIN, or please put in or unlock with your fingerprint or something like that. I'm like, I'm here and I'm settled down in front of my PC. Why can't I just do everything on my PC?
If you'd like to get in touch with the Linux Lads with any questions, feedback, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, then we'd love to hear from you. We have some handy-dandy redirect links on our domain, so you can find us on linuxlads.com/Twitter/Mastodon or /Telegram. You can also email us on show@linuxlads.com. We also have a pretty active gaming channel, which is currently by invitation only, but we could possibly open that up to the public in future if there's demand for it. Just shout us out on Telegram if you want to join that, or any other social really, but the chat is on Telegram, just so you know. You can join our Steam community as well, so you can see when everybody is online and what games we're playing at the moment. Just search for Linux Lads there, or check the show notes for the link. You can also find all of our episodes on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, or subscribe directly to our RSS feed in your favorite podcatcher.
So Adam, you said that you are an old. I will take it just maybe for a little while away from the mobile development kind of thing, back to a bit more Linux. So you said you're an Qt, KDE, C++ guy. You're probably aware of the latest development with Qt, where they decided that the LTS version is going proprietary only, and if you want any updates to the LTS version, you have to pay them for it. And what's left is the Qt 6 version, which is not half as ready as the Qt 5.15 or whatever it was. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I have looked into it, but I don't really have a massive opinion. I think if it was bad enough if the situation was deemed dire enough that there had to be a fork, then KDE could manage that because they have the agreement in place already, I believe. There's a foundation, I believe, that allows them to create a fork. But I haven't heard anyone talk about that for the last, well, at least a couple of weeks.
And do you still develop, except for your porting for the phones, do you still develop any kind of like KDE applications, or you're still involved in the side of things?
Not so much KDE applications anymore. I do still look after some of the libraries and I worked on for the database side. But I have been doing a lot more mobile apps lately. Specifically, as one of my mobile apps has been requests for me to port it to from Sailfish to other mobile phones, which was nice. And that's a watch interface app, you know, like for your smartwatch.
For the Pine Time, is it?
It does support the Pine Time and the My Band type devices, the Amazfit devices.
Just as you're just speaking about Qt development or anything like that, have you looked into Plasma Mobile at all?
Yeah, that's... So I've ported my application from Sailfish to the Kirigami components, which allows it to run on Plasma Mobile. So there's people running it on Plasma Mobile there. And I do have a spare Pine phone, and when I get 5 minutes, it is my intention to run Plasma on that one.
You have a spare Pine phone. How many Pine phones have you got?
I think I've got like four or so.
Wow.
I've got the original development board. Pine are great. They look after the community by just sending them stuff. So I've got the development board for the phone. I've got the early Braveheart phone. I've got the one after that, and I think I've got two of the post-market edition ones.
Do you ever carry it with you, like, everywhere? You take all of them and then just go to the... Well, not these days anyway, but you just imagine yourself going to the bar and just pulling them out all on the bar in front of you and just randomly playing with them. It would be funny.
So we actually got a question on Twitter, which we thought would be a good one for yourself, Adam. Someone asks, do you think we'll see mainstream smartphone manufacturers adopt Linux on the mobile? I don't mean Android, I mean full-fledged mobile Linux distributions. And that's from Cal on Twitter. We'll put a link to the tweet in the show notes.
I don't know, to be honest. I'd like to think so. I think there's enough functionality for some people, but there's clearly two market winners. So whether or not there's any scope there for another party, Yola's clearly still trying, but they've had to move into just the software side because the hardware side didn't go that great. So they just sell licenses for Sony phones now.
Just when you're talking about the two big ones, they're the only one that has even tried to be a third one is KaiOS, and that's completely separate. But I think that's for feature phones, isn't it? That the new Nokia 3310 is running that, and I think there is like WhatsApp ports and things like that for it. But correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't that HTML? I think that's completely separate, isn't it?
It's basically like the old Firefox OS, and it's half between a feature phone and a smartphone. It's like a dumb smartphone or a smart feature phone. It has got its uses. But I don't know, I would like to see Linux on the phone, but I don't think I'd be able to use it unless it's like on par with what I actually use the phone for. And it's probably true for about many people. Do you, Adam, I assume you use KDE. What kind of a distro setup is your, where do you find yourself at home if you have a Linux home?
Yeah, so I'm running Plasma, OpenSUSE Tumbleweed with Plasma and LatteDoc with, it is a Mac kind of layout with a bar across the top and a bar across the bottom.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I have here. Do you also change the the kickoff menu or whatever it's called to the dashboard with to the full screen launcher where you can just type in? No.
No.
Why do you prefer? Would you say that you prefer KDE or to any other desktop environment, or and if you do, then why?
To be honest, I've never been tempted to use another desktop. I started using KDE when I was at university, and that was 22 years ago. So I think if I've been using it that long, I'm probably going to stick with it.
Is there something that you really, really like about it and something that you don't like as much?
I know it's contentious, but I like the configurability. I like that I can make it do what I want it to do.
It's a mixed bag because some would argue that that's not necessarily new user friendly, and I think in the they've been working on that and kind of making things more discoverable with in their settings menu or a settings area, like being able to search for things and so on, rather than just endless and endless lists of you can do everything, you can change everything. But sometimes it can be a bit of information overload.
I do remember seeing some settings in KDE when I was using it briefly recently and thinking, Jesus, I've never seen that as a setting in anything else. Like, but I saw it made sense to me though, and I appreciated that feature was there. I was like, that's brilliant. I've never seen any other OS anywhere do that, any type of software, desktop manager. Desktop environment, OS, etc. So it does have some very thoughtful inclusions, KDE. You can say that.
Adam, what is your kind of development setup? Do you use any specific editors, IDEs, that kind of thing?
I kind of float between, depending on what I'm doing, I'll either use Kit if it's just simple text editing, Qt Creator I'll use for app development quite a lot, and I've been using KDevelop a lot recently as well, doing the PineTime firmware.
So I think that's a nice place to wrap it up. Adam, do you have any do you have a website or any socials you'd like us to like people to know?
You can get me as Adam Pig on Twitter or Telegram.
Excellent. Is that one or two G's?
Two G's.
Yeah, it's giving you the opportunity there. I just have to say thanks for coming on. Very informative episode, and I know a lot of people are very interested in this area, like mobile Linux. It's the new Linux. Is it the year of the Linux desktop? Is it the year of Linux on mobile? That's the new one.
No, thank you for inviting me.
So, as usual, we were the Linux Lads. I was Shane.
I've been Connor.
And I've been Mike.
And I've been Adam.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.